Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's September 2020, and we've reached a very big milestone. You are listening to episode 200 of the Postmodern Realities Podcast, which is a conversation about unpacking this quote from the late theologian J.I. Packer. Quote, maturity is a compound of wisdom, goodwill, resilience, and creativity, end quote. On this episode, I'm joined by Dr. Philip Tallon, who was here at the very beginning and was our very first guest on episode number one. Phil is the author of the book, The Poetics of Evil, and also the author of The Absolute Basics of the Christian Faith. He is currently the interim dean of the School of Christian Thought at Houston Baptist University. Phil has written an online exclusive feature article for the Christian Research Journal, and it's called Wisdom for College Zoomers, and you can read it for free online at our website, equip.org. Phil, it's good to have you on for episode 200.
Oh, so glad to be back.
Well, Phil is here for episode 200, and I cannot believe that this podcast has been going on for 4 years. So we all started back in 2016 and back to episode one, where we talked about the films of Quentin Tarantino. And honestly, there's just been such a variety of different topics, and Phil has joined us for a number of them. So if you are a newer listener to this podcast, you might want to go back and look at the archives, because there's a lot of things that are very fascinating and a lot of things that Phil has talked to us about, especially as it relates to culture and film and literary apologetics, things like that. But today we want to talk about, as I mentioned, the particular quote from the late theologian J.I. Packer. And one thing I did also say in this intro is that Phil is a professor at Houston Baptist University, and he works with college students who, obviously, right now, it's September 2020, we are still in the time of COVID. And if you've been following the news, a lot of colleges and universities have started out with good intentions to be in person, and a lot of those universities had to go exclusively online. So that has been a very challenging time for students. And one thing that the Christian Research Journal is about, in addition to helping you think through truth and discernment and apologetics, is that we are also recently having an emphasis on understanding how to live out the Christian life. And we have a new motto now. It's called Equipping You to Exercise Truth and Experience Life, meaning in experiencing life in Christ in a more significant and deep way. And so because we also do this, we want to think about how our Christian faith really applies to living Christianly and being more united to Christ. And so, Phil, how do you help students discern this, to think not just what about their learning in the classroom, but about what it means for them to live specifically in these very challenging times?
Yes, well, so I teach in the Honors College here at HBU. So we're a Great Books program for undergrads. So I deal with a lot of undergraduate students, you know, some beginning their college career and some moving on through. And, you know, students like the rest of us have issues, but, you know, I find that, you know, students are frequently in my office, they're in crisis, they have a problem of some sort that they're working through, or, you know, we have to address because maybe their schoolwork is suffering as a result. And, you know, through the years of working with students, you know, I've learned some things about how to listen well. You know, if a student's had a terrible crisis, I've kind of learned when I'm sitting there with them, I'm just kind of praying for them, you know, while they're kind of silently, while they're speaking, and trying to be present with them and listen well, not try and solve all of their problems for them. But one thing that I found is really helpful in talking with students about an issue that they're having is to give them sort of a framework for processing through the problem and thinking about how to resolve it. And so I came across this wonderful quote by J.I. Packer from a book that he wrote on the Puritans, actually. And he says, maturity is a compound of wisdom, goodwill, resilience, and creativity. And for years now, I've been saying this quote to students when they're in trouble. Okay, well, you know, you're leveling up here. You're dealing with the sort of a crisis. College is this transitional point sort of between childhood and adulthood where our students are, you know, still kind of cared for and protected in certain ways from some of the difficult things in life. But, you know, this is an opportunity to make a step forward into maturity. And so the four pieces that maturity that Packer talks about actually wind up being really helpful kind of lenses that you can use to look at a problem through. And so, you know, if somebody's not quite, so I sort of say, which of these four things do you need? Is it wisdom? Is it goodwill? Is it resilience, creativity? And I can explain those terms a little bit more, but that often can start a conversation and help a student to articulate, you know, well, okay, you know, here's really where the problem is. You know, maybe they just don't know what to do, you know, in which case, you know, this is really a wisdom issue. They kind of lack some sort of, you know, prudential knowledge. Or maybe they know what to do, they just don't know how to do it. They need to find a different approach to this issue, and that's a matter of creativity. Maybe they know what to do, they know how to do it, but it's just hard and they need to kind of cowboy up, in which case this is really a matter of resilience, right? Like you just need to keep going even though things are tough. Or maybe there's something kind of bigger. Maybe you just need a kind of some inspiration, you know, so maybe you need the spirit to kind of give you grace and, you know, for the journey. Maybe you just need to exercise a kind of compassion toward those around you, or maybe even toward yourself. And so that really is where something like goodwill comes in. And of course, this is helpful for students, but for me as well. I mean, we're in very difficult times. I'm facing challenges in education that we've never faced before. There's a lot going on in the culture students want to talk about, you know, it can be difficult to know the right thing to say. And then we're dealing with a lot of, you know, new technological challenges. People are trying to Zoom and Zoom is going down, and just there's all sorts of issues. And we're having a national pandemic and an economic downturn. So it's a challenging time, not just for students, but for also for faculty. And we could use this framework.
Packer's quote is really interesting. And especially, you know, you're talking about maturity, the overarching topic, because he's saying it's a compound of wisdom, goodwill, resilience, and creativity. And I know for a lot of us, we think of maturity, some of us do, some parents do, in terms of the scientific thing, right? Like we hear, okay, the brain doesn't totally mature until you're 25. But yet kids are in college before they're going to undergraduate, you know, college, you know, around 18 or between 18 and 20. But you know, science is saying, well, you're not really quote unquote mature until you're 25, because that's when your brain is more developed and then you can make better decisions, because before that, you might just make too many impulsive decisions as opposed to carefully thought out decisions. So how does that apply to students, and particularly Christian students, as we think about maturity for them and these specific terms, you know, wisdom, goodwill, resilience, and creativity? Can you unpack that a little bit more for us? Because it's got to be more than science, right? It's character issues too. And how does that apply for Christian students?
Yeah, so maturity is really, you know, an important issue. I think the cultural critic Chuck Klosterman said, you know, the issue with kids these days is not that they grow up too fast, but they grow up too randomly. So in certain ways, young people, so even people in high school, not just, you know, in college and junior high, you know, are doing very adult things, or they have a high adult awareness of certain facets of life. But in other ways, I think, you know, the research shows us that extended adolescence is a real thing. You know, many young people are not kind of facing or taking on the sort of responsibilities that older generations did. So we're delaying having children, taking longer for people to enter the workforce and to kind of to do, you know, more typical adult things. There are economic and cultural factors that are beyond the control of many young people in these regards. So there's all the sorts of ways that are, you know, we mature in one area, but then not in another. And that's where you can wind up having a lot of real problems in life. Some people are forced, of course, to take on responsibilities before they're ready. For most of my students, though, I mean, they have, you know, a decent amount of protection from some of the really, you know, challenging things about adult life. You know, they're still, they're in college. Most of their kind of biggest issues are, you know, just sort of doing their schoolwork and maybe balancing out a part-time job or something like that. But the way that I understand maturity and what that really means is of course, in a kind of Aristotelian sense, you know, maturity is when you become the thing that you were meant to be, right? When you sort of, you finally kind of become what you're intended, and you experience flourishing, you know, as a person. And so one of the marks of maturity is that it's when you really begin to contribute more than you take to the world around you. And so that doesn't mean financially, you know, exclusively. That also includes, you know, sort of the social realm, you know, sort of how you are kind of in your relationships. If you're able to serve other people more than you're serving, then I think you've attained some of the marks of personal maturity and well-roundedness. Of course, some people, you know, live with a measure of kind of vulnerability and disability that prevents them from being contributors, you know, financially or sort of producing more than they take in as a sort of matter of their abilities and what they're able to do. But there is still a sense in which I think Christian maturity sort of shows itself when you begin to bear fruit, right? So, you know, Paul writes about, you know, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. The biggest sign that you're achieving Christian maturity is when you begin to produce things that feed other people. And so that's a mark that I think we really want to, you know, something we really want to be developing in our students is challenging them to continue to go step forward into maturity. And it's one of the things I often, when I'm talking to, you know, people here in college who are involved in dating, I say, well, you know, the most important thing, I would suggest you look at for someone to date is someone who has the kind of the bearing and the time to serve other people. Look for someone who is a helper, you know, who gives of themselves and who cares for other people, and they don't just kind of take and take. And so that's really what I think is the kind of the key marks of maturity is service, being of help to others, producing things and bearing fruit.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest for episode 200 is Dr. Philip Tallon, who has written an online exclusive feature article for the Christian Research Journal, and it's called Wisdom for College Zoomers, and you can read it for free online at our website, equip.org. And we hope that you want to keep this podcast going for many more episodes than just this one at 200. We've been going since 2016, which is when we first started recording this podcast. And so ways that you can help us to keep going is to really become an advocate for this podcast. Please tell friends about it so that they can discover the content that we have on this podcast. And a really great way to help others who maybe don't know who you are is to just go and rate and review it very easily wherever you get your podcast, but especially at Apple Podcasts. You can search for this title, Postmodern Realities Podcast, and you'll find us. And please give us a starred review. But even better yet, think of a short sentence that would explain why you enjoy listening to this podcast. And if you could add it to our reviews, that really helps people find and enjoy this content, as well as all of these online exclusive articles that we're giving you and this content that is supported by the podcast. We do that through your subscription to the print issue of the Christian Research Journal. So you can do that at our website, equip.org. for $33.50. In addition, if right now $33.50 is not in your budget, please think of giving us a tip. You can easily give us a tip at our website by going to equip.org, clicking on magazine. At the drop-down menu, you will see Postmodern Realities Podcast. If you click on that, you will see the landing page for 200 episodes. So feel free to catch up on any that you've missed if you're a new listener. But if you go to any one of those landing pages, you will find a link where you can give us a tip. And we thank you for your support to help keep bringing you the content that we have on Postmodern Realities. Well, we're talking about this quote from J.I. Packer, which is maturity is a compound of wisdom, goodwill, resilience, and creativity as it applies to helping students and all of us, you know, think about development in our character. And I'd like to know what you think about how these particular things, wisdom, goodwill, resilience, and creativity especially, are different from the classic cardinal virtues that are talked about in philosophy and classical Christian theology, like justice or self-control. You might want to talk a little bit more about the cardinal virtues because some of our listeners might not really be familiar with those.
Yeah, so of course, Aristotle and Plato talk about these cardinal virtues. This comes into the Christian tradition as well. So somebody like Thomas Aquinas will say that, you know, we have these four cardinal virtues: justice, you know, fortitude, moderation, prudence. And if you have these things, then you've basically got kind of a human level of happiness and flourishing, right? there are more virtues, faith, hope, and love. You know, that takes you into the realm of having, you know, divine happiness, you know, God-given happiness, and they're only possible by grace. And to some degree, what Packer is describing, and this list is, you know, bears some similarity. I think the key difference with Packer is that his list is very much outward looking, right? And so it has to do with how we kind of relate to other people, where some of the cardinal virtues, you know, so moderation and fortitude seem to be more about kind of like inward traits. And I think they're valuable and still, you know, important, but there's just something about this, you know, this list of Packer's that it, I think it introduces a, it unpacks to some degree kind of what's bound up in prudential wisdom, which is to say kind of there's a creative element that, you know, being able to sort of think outside the box. And then it also tucks in, to some degree, the Christian virtue of charity in the form of goodwill, right? And so if you're thinking about kind of any issue that you're dealing with, I think that probably one of these, this list of four, you know, wisdom, goodwill, resilience, or creativity will likely come to bear. And especially when you're in a moment of crisis, you know, then these are helpful lenses because they each kind of connect to a certain way of dealing with a relational problem or a practical issue or something like that.
So specifically, we're talking about maturity, but can we dig a little bit deeper about that and why you think it's a key component for the development of students, particularly college students, their character? I know one of the cardinal virtues that you mentioned is temperance, which, you know, another modern way to say that is self-control. And you said that's inward looking. But I would like to also ask, I know it's not in the list of cardinal virtues, this idea of might be a more modern term, is self-awareness. Because I feel like a lot of times in that particular age group, later teens, early 20s, you're really kind of struggling a little bit, or not struggling, developing as who you are. So you might not be as self-aware of particular things that you need to work on for yourself and how they impact other people. And I'm thinking about this, particularly in this time of COVID with students. And, you know, a lot of us have heard some of these news stories of colleges opening back up, but then having to close because of large off-campus parties where people haven't been as socially distant or as careful as they have in their behavior, and then bringing COVID back to the dorms for the students who have been, you know, trying to follow some of the different guidelines that are being put in place by universities. And so then schools have gone to be completely online. And so what about the idea of maturity as it relates to, like you were saying, serving others, understanding how we relate to other people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think I quoted Chuck Klosterman earlier, which is that, you know, young people, not that they grew up too quickly, but they grew up too randomly. And I say young people, but of course, you know, many of the things I'm describing apply to adults that I know, to me as well, to lots of folks. But the context in which I'm working is mostly with students, and so these are the issues that come up. But, you know, in some sense, students now are more self-aware of their virtual self-presentation, right? So we're all kind of continually having to deal with managing our online image if you're on social media. And I think as a result of the media saturation, there's a certain sort of self-awareness that is very frequent to see. So you see that, you know, I think a lot of my students are very inclined to be self-deprecating. You know, they'll often kind of call themselves awkward, or they, you know, I think they're aware of how easy it is to do something that's kind of cringy, or, you know, kind of they're hyper attuned to the particular sort of problems of self-presentation in a digital age. You know, they're all been watching The Office, and they kind of, nobody wants to be this sort of unself-aware, super earnest buffoon like a Michael Scott or a Dwight Schrute or something. But there's another sense in which, you know, so they're hyper aware of these kind of image self-presentation, but there are, you know, deeper senses in which, you know, part of growing into maturity is learning to kind of act in accordance with, as it were, kind of universal truths, right? So, you know, is what I'm doing, is that the way that I want kind of everyone to act? And so, of course, Jesus and his golden rule talks about, you know, sort of doing unto others you'd want them to do unto you. And somebody like an Immanuel Kant, you know, is kind of, in a sense, extending this in the realm of the philosophical by talking about, you know, this categorical imperative, you know, let the maxim of your action be as universal law. Like, you do this, imagine if everybody else did this kind of thing, what would the world be like? And so I think we see this, you know, I see my students a lot, you know, making choices and just immature people making choices that if they were universalized, you know, it'd be a huge train wreck, right? And we are seeing this now with the sort of spread of the virus, which is one of the challenges, is that the people who are most vulnerable to dying of COVID-19 are the elderly. You know, people who are least likely to die are young people without any kind of comorbidities. But you can still, it's an incredibly catchy disease. And most of us, I think we realize, like, this is sort of brought to my attention, have a lot of contact with people of varying ages. You know, it's very difficult to sort of completely, you know, separate yourself off into just kind of like a single age slice. So young children going back to school are very unlikely to get seriously ill from COVID and extremely unlikely to die. But, you know, we're all in contact with people of different generations. And the same is true for our students. While they may be all be here kind of hanging out, you know, they're still, you know, making contact with, you know, faculty and staff, their professors, and then most likely with people in their family who, you know, many of whom are going to be older and more at risk. And so the ability to make little choices, you know, little sacrifices continually, that in a ways that it kind of benefits everybody else, is really one of the signs of maturity, to be able to universalize your actions, you know, something that takes a lot of work to grow into. And that sort of self-awareness, I think, is something that, you know, I have to kind of challenge my students to grow in.
What do you think, you know, during this particular season are challenges that younger people, students that you work with, they're facing, especially as, you know, it is a time. I mean, that's one big thing about college. You know, you're away from home. It is a time when you are maturing. It's when a time when you are thinking through what you believe and all these kinds of things, who you are. And so what's particularly challenging for them that's added on in this particular time, besides the normal things that students struggle with as they move into a new season of life as an adult?
Yeah, well, of course, one of the big difficulties that young people are going to face over the next number of years is that, you know, the job market is going to be very tough on them. And that can really disadvantage a student, not just in the short term, but really throughout the course of their lives. And so, you know, people who suffer a period of unemployment, you know, this affects their progress and their careers and their wages basically for the rest of their lives. And so there is going to be a real financial difficulty that, you know, my students will be heading into. There's also, of course, just, you know, going to be increasing disruption in the workforce. And so one of the big issues that, you know, I think we're seeing is that the pandemic has accelerated a lot of trends that were already in place. And so, you know, automation, you know, just any sort of increasing movement of jobs that potentially could be done, you know, sort of virtually or part-time, they're being kind of pushed in that direction. And so the increasing change in the way that we're working is just kind of amplifying, speeding up, and going to be even more difficult. And so as a result, I think all of us, I'm a college professor, I'm an interim dean, I enjoy my job, but I understand that higher education, like many professions, is really in kind of a sort of crisis. You know, schools with legacies, they're, you know, experiencing hard times. Some are closing down. You know, it's entirely possible that, you know, the second part of my life, I'll have a different sort of career than I had for the first part. And when you're in those moments of transition, that's when you really have to kind of ask yourself, you know, these kind of basic questions about just like, do I actually know what the right thing is to do? Do I know the right place to go? Am I on the right path? But I just really need to kind of buckle down and just press even harder and just kind of hold on, you know, to what I'm doing. Maybe I know what I want to do, but I need to find a new kind of way of doing it, right? And so these are questions that my students are going to have to kind of face as they try and navigate this thing where they're trying to reconcile, as it were, their training, their things that they enjoy, their temperaments, and their chosen profession and the realities of a workforce that may not support the profession that they would ideally like to do. And so they're going to have to figure out, you know, do I need to change something else? Do I need to find a new way of basically doing the thing that I think God has gifted me to do and I've trained to do?
Well, I think those are considerations and thoughts that lots of people are having, not just students in particular that always think through these kinds of issues. So I think this is a very timely subject for all of us because we would all like to continue our growth in wisdom, goodwill, resilience, and creativity, not just for students at that point of time, but just continually to grow and mature as people, especially mature in Christ. Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for Phil. So, Phil, lemon bars or carrot cake?
Oh, carrot cake. I like carrot cake quite a lot. We had some carrot cake as part of our wedding cake, even.
Ooh, that's unusual. What's your favorite color?
My favorite color is green. It's the color of growing things.
Passenger or driver?
Oh, almost always driver. On long trips, I never sleep well in the car. I'm always waking up worrying that I've fallen asleep if I'm in the passenger seat. And so I figure I might as well just drive.
Now, I know a lot of families haven't had the normal activities during this pandemic season. So at your house, and I've read some articles about this too, about how gaming, video gaming, and board gaming has exploded during the pandemic. So at your house, board games or video games?
Oh, yeah, board games almost exclusively. We don't have a gaming console in our house, but my kids are quite into board games. We've been playing, you know, Ticket to Ride and, Monster Madness and all kinds of other fun games.
Well, thanks, Phil, for being a guest again and for the 200th episode of the Postmodern Realities Podcast.
Thanks for having me on.
You've been listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest has been Dr. Philip Tallon, who has written an online exclusive feature article for the Christian Research Journal, which you can read for free at our website, equip.org, and his article is called Wisdom for College Zoomers. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Anagraff, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter, and please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes, and please rate and review our podcast. When you rate and review our podcast, it helps others see our content. And please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by CRI President Hank Anagraff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged, Hank's audio podcast. Follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.